Would you turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 27? This morning's title is Desperately Dysfunctional Family. And some of you guys are thinking, are you talking about my family? I don't know your family is dysfunctional or not. Okay, let's start. Let me ask you this question. Tell me what's the common thing of this. The bold and the beautiful. Days of Our Lives, General Hospital, and The Young and Restless. Soap opera, exactly. They're all soap operas. I'm sure that you all noticed that none of the people in soap opera works, right? They're all rich. They can throw parties and go into the fancy vacation and stand around, talk anytime they want, never get to work. If one character is dead, don't worry. Identical twin, never been mentioned, will pop up out of nowhere, out of the blue. And then, the sexual activities between the characters is enormous. It's very, very complicated. So you need the Excel spreadsheet to figure out who slept with whom. Of course, they are all handsome and well-built men, and they are all slender and beautiful ladies. When they wake up in the morning, every hair in the place and all the makeup's on. How they do that, right? When I wake up in the morning, I look at it and say, ah, scream. They have an interesting way to converse one another. Did you notice that? And you're thinking, how do you know all this? I have two stepdaughters. When they were teenagers, they watched this all the time. Anyway, one person stand in front of camera, looking at the camera, off camera, of course, and talk. And the other person stand here, looking at the back of their head, and talk. When was the last time you conversed with somebody looking at their back of their head? Right? The reason why they do that is because they are such a lousy actors and actresses. They cannot remember their lines. So they have to look at the cue cards. And you're thinking, preacher, where are you going with this? There's a reason why I mentioned this. Each character is mentioned in the soap opera is a kind of exaggerated. Isn't it true? We find the four characters in chapter 27. Their lives are not exaggerated, but their lives actually look like they are living in a soap opera. Because they are living the family of the dysfunctional, desperately dysfunctional family. I believe that we're going to learn a lot of things. We have a spiritually declining father who tried to outsmart God's will. A mother, doubting mother, who tried to force the hand of God. And despairing older son who could care less about God. And deceiving son who deceived his own father for God's blessing instead of waiting upon the Lord. Like I said, somehow we will learn a lesson from these people. Let's stop and pray. Father, your word said in the New Testament, we have the Old Testament for our lessons, for examples, that we may learn. We have enough problem with our own sins. We don't need to incur more. Let us learn from these people's fault and sins that we may not repeat them in our lives. You are God of love. At the same time, you are God of righteousness and holiness. Father, we want to glorify your holy name with our lives that we may live the lives that bring honor and praise to your holy name. Father, we pray that you teach us, open our heart to receive your word by anointing our heart to understand your truth and precept and principles. Father, also asking you to anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins. Father, we pray for President Trump and all the politicians in this country who are desperately looking for their ways and their will over others. But you are in control over all of them. Father, exalt yourself and glorify yourself in our country. Father, we pray for our troops. There's a lot of talk about the escalating possibility of war. Father, we are asking you to protect our troops, the one, especially the one in the harm's way. And we also pray for it. We pray for the law enforcement personnel and firefighters who risk their lives day in, day out on our behalf. You protect them, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 27, verse 1, please. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." He answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. So now therefore, please take your weapons and your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt a game for me and make me a savory food such as I love and bring it to me and that I may eat and then my soul may bless you before I die." Stop there, please. Isaac was 137 years old at this moment. You know, he's acting like he's about to die next day, so I'm going to have my last supper, last meal. Actually, he lived 43 more years. Yeah. He buried all of his doctors by then. When he was young, Isaac was a dedicated godly man. Remember? When his father Abraham took him to the Mount Moriah to sacrifice him on the altar. What did he do? He was bound by the old man. He was a young man. He was willing to be bound. He probably helped himself to be on the top of the altar to be sacrificed, to be killed by his own father. He was that godly. And he decided to follow God and let God choose his wife. Both Isaac and Rebekah knew how to pray, how to seek the mind of the Lord for their homes. What more could a married couple could ask for? But listen to me, please. Good beginning does not guarantee a good ending. Here, Isaac doing something stupid. In the latter part of his years, Isaac tried to reverse the blessing of God for a savory meal of venison from his favorite son, Esau. Did Isaac know that Esau will not have birthright? He will not be over Jacob. Yes, he knew. Because God told Rebekah, Isaac's wife, about it. But yet, even though he knew, it was not something he liked because his favorite son is Esau. He wanted to reverse it. As if we can outsmart God. Isaac's impatience to give his blessing to Esau suggests that he was following his own carnal plan, not God's will. Had he forgotten the word from God in chapter 25 regarding the older shall serve the younger? No. Or was he trying to change God's plan? Have we ever done that? I did. Don't look at me like you've never tried it. Note that the feeding the body took a priority over God's will. With a father like leading this home, and he wonder why the family is dysfunctional and fall apart. Listen, we need to remember this. We must follow the will of God, not ours. Amen?
Amen.
Even if we don't like it, eventually we will learn that it is best for us. There is a saying, Father knows best, right? Our Father knows best. Let's go back to the text in verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field and to hunt the game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game, make a savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Verse 8. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there the two choice kids of goats, and I will make a savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. Rebekah had been told that Rebekah knew that God would give the blessing to Jacob. Yet she schemed and plotted this plan that Esau would be left out. Instead of going to God in prayers, she had 4 years before, she depended on her plan and practiced that it would be a characteristic of Jacob. What did he do? He was a schemer. Rebecca went about to do what is right in the flesh, just like her husband was doing it. Good intention does not justify acting in flesh. I'm sure that you've noticed in this family, no one trusts anyone else. In the New Testament, on this sin is in James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. I want you to go home. When you go home, I want you to look at them. Make sure I'm speaking the truth. Isaac was depending on his own physical sense, but Rebecca was depending on her own good idea of the world. However, the world's good idea is very often lead to trouble. I want you to go to the James chapter 3, please. James is located right behind the book of Hebrews. Right before 1 Peter. James chapter 3, verse 16. Come on, turn your Bible. Don't sit there without turning your Bible. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil things are there. That's what they're doing. Back to chapter 27 of Genesis, verse 11. Now we find the deceiving son, Jacob. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man, kind of like me. I cannot even see my forearm hair. Perhaps my father will feel me. I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be upon me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made a savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. She put the skin of the kid of the goat on his hand and the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father," he said, "here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that you also may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is that you have found so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because," get this, guys, "because the Lord your God brought it to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, and I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice of Jacob's voice the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hand are the hand of Esau. How much hair that Esau has that I cannot fathom. However, I did see it when I did a prison ministry. There was a guy, his name is Ricky, this big guy. He was completely covered with hair. And I said, you are the missing link between the ape and human. The voice was Jacob's voice, but hand are the hand of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hand were hairy like his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him. Then he said, how are you? Are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. He said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my son, my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father said to Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. He came near and kissed him. He smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him, said, surely the smell of my son is like a smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Because may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of the grain and wine. Let the people serve you, nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who cursed you, and blessed be those who bless you. Stop there, please. Jacob's concern was, is it right? Rather, is it safe? You know, the 11th commandment, it says, thou shalt not get caught. That's what he has in mind. When we are willing to abandon the question of right and wrong, when our only concern is what works, we have brought them into the modern idea of pragmatism as much of the church has today. In case you are not familiar with the pragmatism is, let me explain. Pragmatism has a root of Darwinism and secular humanism. It is connected to the relativism, rejecting the notion of the absolute right and wrong, good and evil, and the truth and error. Pragmatism ultimately defines the truth as that which is useful, meaningful, helpful idea that don't seem workable or relevant are rejected as false. That's why some called Christian who subscribe this crazy idea can accept abortion as a woman's right. You may say, where are you going with this? When a man and woman have a sex and they choose not to have that baby for whatever reason, because it's inconvenient. And you may say, well, we provide abortion for the rape and incest case. Do you know the percentage of rape and incest, the people actually having abortion, is less than 3%. What about the 97%? It's an inconvenience. Are you with me on that? Yes. Because of inconvenience for them, they choose to eliminate, they choose to murder a baby. Don't tell me that is just a political thing. Don't tell me that's a social thing. It's a fundamental thing. I'm going to go further. And some of you may not like it. Too bad. Election season is coming up. Do not support any candidate who will endorse abortion. I don't care who that person is. If that person is a Republican and he supports the abortion, don't vote for him. Right is right, wrong is wrong. In the book of Isaiah, it said that in the latter days, they would say right is wrong and wrong is right. Truth become a false become a truth. Look at the world. Am I speaking the truth or am I speaking the deception. That's what they're doing. Pragmatism is because it's helpful, because it's useful, we are going to ignore the truth. It penetrates the four walls of the church and is trying to destroy it. The right part of the whole thing is that none of them thought that the owner of the dispenser of the blessing is God. Without Him, there's no blessing. And when we don't have the truth in our hearts and follow His truth, we don't get His blessings. Amen? Please note that what Jacob said to his father, he did not hesitate to use the name of God in his deception. How can he do that? Pragmatism? Because he wants the blessing so bad. It is meant to given to him. It is for him. He didn't have to scheme anything. He didn't have to con anybody. But he chose to do wrong things. Simply because his only concern is whatever it takes. Since he knows God wants him to have a birthright, he will justify any lies or sin he commits in the pursuit of the birthright and says he is making a stand, and then he said, I'm standing for the righteousness. You all know the Greek word for that, right? What is it? Hogwash. It doesn't matter what kinds of excuse we come up with to justify our own sins. Our memory verse, go to the book of Numbers, fourth book from the beginning of the New Testament. Book of Numbers, chapter 32, please. Chapter 32, verse 23, second half. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. If you are born again Christian, listen carefully, guys. If you are born again Christian, you have unconfessed the sin. You need to confess to Him right now, not later. Okay? Unconfessed sin will get you. Does it mean that if I confess my sin, I can go scot-free? No. You still have consequences to pay. But God will take care of it. Your own sin. All right. Before I forget this, let me go back to the abortion story. If you notice, those who are for abortion, let me say it carefully, those who are for abortion, a lot of times, they are trying to protect the pygmy owls, they're trying to protect the whales, they're trying to protect the gray wolves, and a lot of different things, right? Am I correct? But they don't have a problem killing a baby. If you try to kill the puppy in front of them, they will go berserk. Rightly so. But if someone tried to have abortion, it's a woman's right. Really? By the way, in our last study, I told you that it seems like Isaac got away without any consequences after he lied about his relationship between him and his wife to Abimelech of a Philistine. And I told you guys this, he paid the price dearly. He was deceived by his own son. Here it is. And I also told you this, God's millstone grinds slowly. Do you know why he grinds slowly? He's giving us ample time to do what? Repent. Exactly. Not regret. Repent. Turn away from sin. But it grinds exceedingly fine. Verse 30, please. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came from his hunting, and he also had made a savory food and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where are the one who hunt the game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the word of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with a deceit and has taken away your blessing." And guys, I stop there. This is what Isaac's saying. Your brother came with the deceit, has taken away whose blessing? It was Jacob's blessing to begin with, isn't it? Somehow, in Isaac's mind, he's the one who dispensed the blessing of God. Let's not forget that it is the Lord. Amen? Verse 36. And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now, look, he has taken away my blessings." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as a servant. With the grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also. Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be in the fatness of the earth, and the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live. You shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." And the word of Esau, her oldest son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforted himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to you, my brethren Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forget what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Stop there, please. Isaac was troubled because he knew that he had tried to outfox God and he could not. And he thought he could defeat God's plan, and he didn't. God beaten his own game. Esau was also Esau who despised birthright. Remember when he came back from the field, and he was hungry, and he sold his birthright for the bowl of stew of venison. He cheapened his birthright. It was not anybody's fault except him. But of course, when that kind of thing happens, always somebody else's fault. Did you notice somebody there? I hope none of you are. When the bad thing happens, something happens, it's somebody else's fault. Esau's tears were not the tears of the repentance for being an ungodly man. They were the tears of regret because he had lost the covenant blessing. There's a tremendous difference between the regret and the repentance. Repentance is turning away from sin and not to go again. And regret is, oops, I got caught, but I'm going to do it again, and hopefully I don't get caught again. Both Isaac and Esau were grieved when they figured out what Jacob did. Now Esau is concerned about the birthright. And funny thing is, it never been his from the beginning. Esau's attitude reminds me of what the unbelievers would do. When they find out that they cannot enter into the heaven because they chose not to follow Jesus while they are alive. It is not only it's not anyone's fault except themselves for not choosing Jesus as the Savior and Lord. Let me make it this way. Let me put it this way. You can be a very, very religious person. You can be an intelligent person. You can be a good person, do all the good things. Do even do the recycling. Heaven forbid you do the recycling to be a good person, right? You do all the good things. You reject Jesus Christ. Guess what happened? You choose. When you reject Jesus Christ, you choose hell as your eternal destination. Nobody, God, one of our granddaughters, she's a lesbian. She told me that, loving God will not send me to hell. I said, you're absolutely right. Loving God will not send you to hell, but your choice to reject His Son Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord will send you to hell. It's a hard thing for the grandpa to say that kind of thing to the granddaughter. But I would not sugarcoat it for her. I hope she would have a chance to come to sense, like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He came to his senses and he turned back to home, turned back to Father. I don't know where you are spiritually. I hope all of you are born again Christian. If you came here because it's a Sunday thing to do, go to church, chalk it up on the board for brownie point from God. It's not a brownie point, folks. Either you are for God or you're against God. Either you have Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior and Lord, you don't. You cannot be in somewhere in between. Ladies, I ask you this. Can you be somewhat pregnant? Maybe 50%, maybe 30% pregnant. Either you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, become born again Christian, or you reject Him, period. Rebecca said it will be a few days. Do you know what happened? After 20 years, this was the last time she ever saw her son, Jacob. I have two applications for you. Number one, we must do godly things in God's way and God's time, not ours. Can you say that with me? We must do godly things in God's way and God's time, not ours. And I know you were thinking, it's not so profound. I know it's not profound, but it's the truth, isn't it? By the way, you're thinking, you got that two-thirds of the sermon online note. You thought you're going to be gone all year, right? Second application. Good intentions don't justify acting in flesh. Numbers 32:23b said, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. But if you repent from your sin, remember this, guys, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? If you are born again Christian, you can do that. Let's stand up and pray.